Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
That last voice was Brian Griese of ESPN's Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football. It's a big Monday morning for Trey Lance. We'll get to him throughout the course of the morning, but we want to focus in on Zach Wilson, the presumptive number two pick, as we are rolling. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline. If you're a big baseball fan, what's going on with the Yankees? How about the Dodgers and Padres trying to become baseball's newest fun rivalry? Jeff Passan, baseball's best insider, coming up in 30 minutes. Keyshawn Johnson is here. Chris Canty, the Super Bowl champion, is here. Both of these guys made their hay in New York. Key, of course, is the number one overall pick a quarter century ago. We're coming up on the 25th anniversary. No, that's a good thing. I'm not saying that. Yeah, it's like a momentous 25th anniversary.
It hit different when Zubin put it out there like that, don't it?
He stayed trying to do that, though.
And of
a
course,
quarter century ago.
It's an anniversary. Yeah. When you get married, you'll know. So Chris, obviously, is a Super Bowl champion. Key's a Super Bowl champion. And these guys know how to handle New York. So the question is, you know, once a guy named Joe Willie Namath went from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania to New York City, and he adjusted well, as he guaranteed he would. Zachary Capone Wilson is looking to go from Draper, Utah to New York City, if indeed Gangrene selects him with the number two overall pick. Chris, you played here. You won a Super Bowl in this market. There's been some discussion. Rich Cimini, our fine Jets reporter who covers the team 24/7 for ESPN, talked about whether handling the pressure is going to be an issue. Utah, laid back, not a lot of people, right? No pro teams in the NFL. Obviously, you have one pro team, the Jazz, in the entire state. New York's a different animal. Is it legit to question, because of the background, that it might be a little bit of an adjustment for him? And is this New York hype thing a real thing? Eli was laconic, and it didn't seem to bother him that much.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if it's legit to question it because of his background, but I think it does become more of a question when you talk about the organization that he's poised to go to. The New York Jets don't have a great track record of developing quarterbacks. I mean, the last Pro Bowl quarterback that they ended up drafting, you got to go back to Ken O'Brien.
Wow.
And that was in the 80s. So, I mean, that's a long time ago. So, I mean, this organization hasn't been good at being able to develop young signal callers. But the one thing that I will say that Zach Wilson does have in his favor is that it seems like everybody within the Jets organization is in alignment when it comes to him being the future franchise guy. Like with Sam Darnold, I mean, he wasn't really Adam Gase's guy. Adam Gase kind of had to take the job because there was no other team that was going to make him a head coach in that hiring cycle. I mean, they moved on from Mike Maccagnan, so Sam Darnold wasn't really Joe Douglas's guy. It feels like there's an opportunity for Zach Wilson to have things go his way and to have an opportunity to develop, because the infrastructure, everybody that's a part of making the decision on what they're doing with the second overall pick is on board with him being the second overall pick.
You know, having come to New York as the number one overall pick and to a franchise that won two games prior to the year, you know, I was drafted, the pressure is felt by players, no matter where you were drafted at and no matter what sport you play in. Whether it's baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, whatever it is, New York has a different sort of mentality on a lot of different levels. It can eat you alive if you're not equipped to handle it. Because there's so much pressure from outsiders within the media to get a story, to build a story, to do all sorts of things. And in this day and age, there is just no back page. There's no back page of the New York Post only and the Newsday and the Times and all. There's all these different sources of media outlets, whether it's on your phone, whether it's you picking up the computer, whether it's just simply seeing something as you walk down the streets, big billboard or something. It's everywhere. That's not it in Utah. It's a little bit different. It's quiet. You know, the most you're going to hear is, there's a snowstorm coming, and we're going to have great snow to go ski. That's pretty much it. It's subdued. The moment you get off to a bad start in New York, the expectations are so high that when you go 2-4, the flip side of that is if you go 6-0, now can you handle What comes with going 6-0? What comes with going 9-1? What comes with going to the playoffs? I mean, I watched a former USC Trojan in Mark Sanchez come to New York, go to two straight AFC championship games, and in the end, he wasn't good enough. Mm. Because as I told Mark, and I tell Mark to this day, I told him back then, just because you start having success, don't start embracing what comes with it, because you will get lost in all of it, the expectations. Now I'm on the front of GQ magazine, and I'm dating a celebrity, and I'm out here. You don't need to do all that. You mentioned Eli Manning. Eli Manning, just nice and easy. I'm just going to hide over here and be quiet and win a few games. I'm not going to say anything and just keep it a couple goofy commercials here and there, and that's pretty much it. And that's how you handle it until you're ready for it. When you start diving into that stuff, you can get swallowed up. I've watched many athletes, many come through New York as the top dogs on the board. And New York swallowed them up because they had success. And New York kicked them out because they didn't have success. And they didn't know how to handle either. Well, and that's the question that I have, Chris, with Zach Wilson. Can he handle either side? Because he's going to get both. He's going to get both.
Oh, 100%. And New York is a place of extremes. I mean, Key, you talked about athletes, but that's just people in general. New York City is undefeated. Like, it's going to be hard to be consistent, whether you're good or whether you're bad. And so it's just one of those things as a player, you have to understand you can never get too high. You can never get too low. You have to be focused on the process and trying to constantly improve your craft. You don't want to become a celebrity quarterback, because we've seen how that ends up working out. But with Zach Wilson in particular, I just feel like what he's walking into, the situation that he's coming into, it's a relatively low bar to clear. I mean, Sam Darnold didn't have a great tenure as the Jets starting quarterback, and the team was really bad last year. They were in the running to have the number one overall pick going into the final month of the season. So, I mean, you're talking about a team that was 2-14 last year, and you're talking about a quarterback over his 3 years as the Jets guy that had more turnovers than he did touchdown passes. So that's what Zach Wilson is walking into, and people are always infatuated with what's new and what's different. And so I feel like they're going to be, you know, relative to the second overall pick, lower expectations for Zach Wilson just because of what preceded him. And so I feel like there'll be an opportunity for him to come along and develop the, you know, properly, or, you know, at his pace, so to speak, rather than this being this, you know, pressure cooker type of situation where he's got to deliver in year one.
I just think the expectations for the number, whether you're one or two, those expectations are high, because you are basically put on a pedestal to save the organization. Mm. You're put on this pedestal. You've got to deliver. Expectations of Sam Darnold, he's leaving it pretty much empty. You can walk in one game more. Oh my God, you win three games. It's like, okay, we're at a positive side now. It's just that I worry about somebody coming from a small city to New York City, both from a positive standpoint and a negative standpoint on how to handle that. Because even though it's him, there's people around you that may be working with your agency, that all of a sudden opportunities come up, and the first thing they want to do is jump on the opportunity. They want to put the cart before the horse, so to speak. They don't want to give it an opportunity, time to develop. Because again, they're not only working for you, they're also working for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so the moment that something comes up, they jump on it. And now those expectations are even heightened even more, because you're on the front cover of something, or you're all of a sudden doing multiple interviews on national shows every time we look up. And then if things don't go the way it's supposed to, how can they handle the crisis management side of things when people like Zubin start to go at you, you know, for not living up to the expectations? I done been on both sides in New York City. It didn't affect me because I was coming from L.A. Mm-hmm. So the noise was like, whatever. And then the whole positive stuff was like, yeah, okay, what's it about? I was able to handle it and embraced it, and it didn't become a problem for me. But I've watched some of my teammates, and I've watched others from afar. It became a problem for them. And it's just something that derailed their careers where they did not necessarily get off to a fast start, and it wind up hurting them on the long run.
Yeah, as a young athlete in New York coming to this city with expectations, it's just important to keep things in their proper perspective. There are a lot of things that come along with playing professional sports in New York City, a lot of good things, but you have to also understand as an athlete, it's like these things are only here if I produce as a player. And that's what you want Zach Wilson, because he's the second overall pick, to understand, coming from an environment like he's coming from in BYU, like this is going to be a little bit different. There are going to be a lot of positive things that come along with it, but you also have to understand, like, you have a job to do, and that should be the focus, not trying to be out here and promoting your brand or marketing or anything like that. You need to focus on being the best quarterback you can be and trying to set the agenda for our program, because this is a ground-up rebuild that Rob Saleh and Joe Douglas are going through now. And Zach Wilson is going to have to be at the heart of it.
Let's bring in Alan Hahn, host of Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, big Jet fan. All right, so the fellas have weighed in on whether they think Zach Wilson will be able to adjust if he is indeed the number two overall pick to the Jets. What are your thoughts?
I think he has to be a guy that that has the right people around him, of course, and you want to see what his, you know, as a young guy coming into New York who's really been mainly there in Utah for his whole life, but yet seems to have that. It's the opposite of Trevor Lawrence. He has the chip on his shoulder. I mean, he's the guy with, you know, with the Jim McMahon headbands with every message possible on it and the wristbands with, you know, prove him wrong and all that stuff. I kind of like that part of it. I do, because I do think that he's somebody that if he's obsessed with proving people wrong and obsessed with the idea of showing everybody I'm the player that you don't think I can be, the guy that that Utah wouldn't give a scholarship to because he already had a quarterback. Who the hell is that kid? Because he's not in the draft, right? So he's got all that stuff coming into New York with that prove it mentality. I like that better because I don't feel like that. The more I read about him, it doesn't sound as much like Johnny Manziel want to come in here, you know, with the finger guns and let's have a party. Like this sounds more like a guy that might be more Tom Brady and less Johnny Manziel. That's what I'd like to know about him. But as Chris, you know this, playing in New York, Keyshawn, nobody knows it more than you do. You come into New York with expectations. You're a high draft pick, and it's okay, kid, show us what you got. And if you don't do it right away, you're going to hear about it. And how does he handle that? That's the bigger question.
Well, here's the thing, Alan, and we're having this conversation. I don't know that it's going to be the same kind of pressure that you would normally get from a quarterback being taken with the second overall pick coming off of the Sam Darnold years. What's your take on that situation, that dynamic, what Zach Wilson is walking into?
In what regard, though? You mean because we already went through this with Sam and it failed? Is that what you mean?
No, what I mean is because Sam Darnold was so bad, it's a low bar to clear for Zach Wilson. That's
oh
what
my
I mean.
Sugarcoat it, why don't you, Chris? I mean, no, I think it's apples and oranges. It's a new regime, so we're going to do this again, I feel like, right? I almost feel like – I see what you're saying, is that just don't suck and you'll be fine, right? Is that what you're saying? I still think you're held, though, to a higher standard because it's been so long, right? I don't think it's if he can just manage the game, like if he's just Mark Sanchez. Mark went into a team that had a ton of veterans. That defense was all set. You know, that offensive line, I mean, he didn't have to do much. This group's going to still be a young group, so he's going to have to do some stuff, and the game is a lot different now, too. I don't know if you're going to see as much ground and pound as they were able to get away with Mark. So I do think that you're going to watch this kid, and you're going to say, I want you to dazzle me. Let me see the throw of the pro day season on a Sunday. Let me see it, because I saw it with no defense. I need to see it now, otherwise another guy like I'm telling you guys, this is how it's going to go. I'm going to sit there. It's going to be like week three, and he's going to throw an interception. Like, oh, here we go. This guy sucks. Who's next? Like, you know that's going to happen, and that's how does he handle that if it does early on?
Next quarterback for the New York Jets, Arch Manning. Stay tuned.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's tank for Arch.
Speaking of staying tuned, the Knicks have won six in a row, so stop smiling right now.
I can't.
Hahn,
I can't.
Right?
I can't stop.
So where are they at? I know they're six in the Eastern Conference, but truly,
a half
really,
game out of fourth, Key.
No,
a half game out of fourth,
really, though. Like, really?
Hosting
where
a first-round – just think about this. Hosting a first-round series is a half a game away. It's a half game away for the New York Knicks to host a playoff series, to be to have home court advantage. Zion loves Madison Square Garden. You heard him. To have that?
Here we go.
To have that? Are you serious? To have the ability to be the home court advantage in a playoff series after 8 years of not even sniffing the playoffs. That's insane to say that with 14 games to go. So, no, the smile's not coming off my face because everybody's telling me, oh, they're going to let you down. Allen, don't fall for it. They're going to let you down. Well, there's 14 games to go. And they're pretty much like we're looking at, I think 538 has them at like 70-something percent chance of clinching a playoff berth. I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Mm. Let me ask you this. You mentioned Zion. What was your reaction to Zion? Take a listen to this. If we could play it.
I'd love to hear it again.
I love playing here. I played here in college, and this is my first time playing here in the pros. And I mean, this atmosphere, you know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't lie to you.
The obligatory outside of New Orleans, of course, catching himself. Speaking of take the smile off your face while you're talking, I mean, everybody listening to that, if you didn't watch the video, big smile on his face, right? Like, couldn't wait to say it. Now, you want my reaction? This is my reaction. I have for years, actually since the Kevin Durant stuff, I've said I'm no longer going to do this to myself. Well, guys, yeah, no, I'm back off the wagon. Like, I am completely off the wagon now. Like, I am all, like, just hearing him gush about the Garden. Can I just remind you, there's only 2,000 people in the building. Like, that kind of a game, like that kind of a game yesterday afternoon with 18,000 people in that building would have been insanity. To come, they were done. They were down 7-3 minutes ago. They were down 6 with 90 seconds to go. The game was over. They looked terrible for really a good portion of the second half of that game. Just really couldn't make a shot. And then out of the blue, they come back. They make a couple of big shots. Derrick Rose, vintage Derrick Rose. And then, of course, thank you, Lonzo Ball, for deciding to leave the one shooter on the floor that the Knicks have. And a big shot for Reggie Bullock to make in front of the opposing team's bench. So all that happens. Can you imagine? I mean, I've been in the building with Melo on Easter, hits a huge three to force overtime at the buzzer against the Bulls. The place shakes. It shakes, guys. The floor shakes. You realize the Garden is on the playing court is on the fifth floor. So there's like it shakes when people scream the way they do in that building when the team wins and team plays well. So Zion has no idea, really, what the atmosphere is like. He heard 2,000 people and he loves it. Can you imagine when he's in there when it's 18,000 people? So it's great to hear. I guess I'll ask the question again. Are the Knicks cool now? Can we say that? I'm not sure. Because they are playing well, and now you've got the superstar of the future of the NBA saying how much he loves to play in that building, and his best friend, by the way, is also on the Knicks team.
Here we go.
Keep an eye on him.
There you go. Allen, I got to ask you because you brought him up in a couple of references in that last answer. How concerned are you about this latest Kevin Durant injury and how it affects the Brooklyn Nets in their championship run?
I'm not overly concerned. I think they're putting these guys in bubble wrap. I think the Nets are that team that knows how good they can be, and it's a matter of let's just be healthy in May when it matters most. I really do. I think they're overmanaging, and I would do the same thing. They're overmanaging the injuries to make sure that when it's winning time in May and June that they have these guys at 100%, and that's when they're going to need them most. So I am my concern level for the Nets is like, you know, from 1 to 10 is like 1.
Yeah, that's kind of the same way I feel even about the Lakers when you're talking about the season started 71 days after winning a championship to the point where the Nets, the Lakers, they kind of, you know, the guys could play if they really needed to play, but it's like, well, it doesn't matter about
seeding. You don't
seeding.
Have to play.
I don't need to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether I'm the 1 seed or the 6 seed or whatever the case is, we're better than the teams in front of us anyway.
But so, especially the mileage, Key. The mileage is the other thing, as you just mentioned. The Lakers took it to the limit last year, so they didn't have much of a break. So here's your break. Go ahead, LeBron. Take extra time. Come on. You know, AD can take extra time. Now we got to get him ramped up, which he'll be back. I think it's this week, right?
Yeah.
So I know I saw you guys ask the question, and I want to flip it because I know the question is certainly who do you trust more, right? Is it the Sixers, the Nets, or the Bucks in the East? But I want to add this caveat. It's all right. So who do you trust more to come out of the East? Those three teams, but who do you trust the most against the healthy Lakers team? I don't know if I trust anybody more than I trust the Nets against the healthy Lakers team.
Yeah, it would be the Nets,
right?
For sure. Right.
You could argue the Sixers.
Nets.
You could argue, though. See, I hate when we agree. You could argue. So I'm going to change it. I will say the Sixers because I trust them defensively against the Lakers. Otherwise, we're talking about a shootout. You can have NBA Finals games at 140 to 138. Like, I think you have a Sixers team that can play defense because we know the Lakers can't. So I think the one team that I feel like could make it a series without any other, you know, without any excuses, because the Sixers and Doc Rivers know what they're doing when it comes to defense, and you're going to need that against that Lakers team if they're at full health.
Well, the Sixers have the length for sure. Let me ask you this, though, before we let you get out of here. Steph Curry, MVP conversation?
Yeah, only because of the injuries, right? I mean, I think Embiid should have it locked up. Obviously, you know, media nerds are going to vote for Jokic, even though they shouldn't. They know they shouldn't, but they're going to because they relate to him. They all have the same body type. But I really think it's going to be Embiid. It should be Embiid. But you can start talking about Steph as he's climbing towards taking the scoring crown away from Bradley Beal. I mean, the run he's been on is insane.
And what I really like about Steph, not that this would engender a vote, but he has been openly critical of his teammates after losses.
Yes.
It's not the placid Steph we're used to seeing. You know, when you go to five straight NBA finals, there's nothing to be upset about. But
right.
He is letting guys have it after games. And it's a side of Steph we haven't seen before. And frankly, one I'm enjoying seeing. That is for sure. Bottom line, Nets, Lakers, AD, LeBron, Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin on the court at the same time.
It.
If you're not going to watch the NBA there, you'll probably never watch it again. We'll wait to see what happens. Playoffs about a month away. Bart and Allen, noon Eastern, weekdays, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Allen, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
On the way, the best rivalry in baseball, and it's one that probably wasn't a rivalry for most of you this past week. And what's going on with the Yankees? Off to a miserable start. All of that after Key has this from Indeed.
Connoisseur of case management or guru of global sales, whoever you're looking to hire, you can find them at Indeed. Sponsor a job post at Indeed's Instant Match searches millions of resumes in their database and immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resume fits your job description. You can add an Indeed skills test so candidates can show you their skills that go way beyond the resume. No wonder Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Breaking moves from across the pond. Tottenham Hotspur has sacked manager Jose Mourinho. Breaking moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He was fired up. Dodgers found a way to win 11-6, plating runs. They found a way to win pitching great, 2-0. Padres took it on Sunday. Dodgers take 2 of 3. They'll play again Thursday through Sunday, this time in L.A. with the capper on ESPN's Sunday Night Baseball, which is great because the country then will get to see this great rivalry in its own spot. Exclusive window. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Let's bring in baseball's best insider, Jeff Passan. All right, Jeff, this is a relatively new rivalry, I would assume, to most fans, but the Dodgers and Padres have been chirping now for the better part of the last several months, stretching back to the truncated 2020 season. What was your biggest takeaway? What are people buzzing about in baseball circles after watching this, even though the Dodgers took 2 of 3, highly competitive and at times emotional series?
Thank God there's 16 more of these, because, guys, this is what baseball should be. It should be filled with great players. It should be filled with emotion. It should be filled with highlight plays. It should be filled with excitement. It should be filled with two teams that do not like each other, making April feel like October. And that's what the feeling was this weekend. It wasn't just the quality of the baseball being played. It was the intensity there. And it's intensity that you just don't typically see in an April baseball game. And the fact that they're going to be going head-to-head again next week and 16 more times this season is one of the exciting things about baseball. I mean, you get a chance to have division rivals in particular go against each other a lot. And while a balanced schedule is more fair, the unbalanced schedule that baseball has allows rivalries like this to really reach their potential.
Jeff, is this really a rivalry, though? Think about it. The Padres haven't been in this situation. They haven't been in this situation in a very long time. I mean, they're chasing us, but is it really a rivalry?
Well, let's put it this way. It's more of a rivalry than Dodgers-Giants are right now. And baseball is looking for rivalries anywhere it can get them. And if you're telling me that these two teams that don't really like one another, that have great games, that are near one another in terms of location, and that have stars, don't constitute a rivalry, I'm not sure what does exactly. You know, this is not Duke Carolina. This is not Red Sox Yankees. This is not Packers Bears. But what this is something that's burgeoning right now. And when one of the people involved is signed to a 14-year, $342 million deal, and the other is signed to a 13-year, $392 million deal, you know Mookie Betts and Fernando Tatis Jr. are going to be around for a really long time to see this thing through to the end. And that, to me, knowing that the best players on each respective team are going to be there for a decade plus, allows you to project out the idea that these teams are going to be around and be competitive for that long, too.
You know, we took care of business against them this past stand, 2-1. Now, he's mentioned 16 more of these. We get them starting on Thursday for 4. What do you expect to see in the next 4 games that we play them at Chavez Ravine?
I think that all of the passion that we saw from Padres fans and the Beat LA chants and the excitement that was at Petco Park is going to be doubled at Chavez Ravine. And I think it's because it's not that Dodgers fans look at the Padres as a threat. I think Dodgers fans look at the Padres as the team maybe that brings out the best in their team. And I think that was illustrated this weekend, whether it was Mookie Betts' catch, whether it was Clayton Kershaw getting angry and screaming at Jurickson Profar. Like, there was some serious emotion going on in those games. And as much as the Dodgers don't want to admit that the Padres are anywhere near their level, and the truth is, I'm not sure anyone's near the Dodgers' level, I think the Dodgers understand, too, that a team like the Padres will bring out the best in them, and they respond and react to that as well.
Jeff, on one end of the spectrum, you got the Padres and the Dodgers. On the other end, you got my New York Yankees. They've lost five straight, as we've mentioned before. It's their worst start since the 97 season, but they got it turned around that year and won 96 games. In order for the Yankees to get this thing turned around, I know they have to start hitting, but what else has to happen in order for them to get this season back on track?
I mean, they need two things. They need to start hitting, and they need better starting pitching outside of Gerrit Cole. Corey Kluber has not been good so far. Jameson Taillon has been, so far. Domingo Herman's not even there anymore. Hasn't been good. It's been Cole, kind of Jordan Montgomery, and a really good bullpen. But it is the hitting. Their best hitter right now is their backup catcher. Kyle Higashioka has the best numbers right now on the New York Yankees. And, you know, the Yankees are so bad, Jay Bruce retired. that's where we are right now. And you look up and down the lineup and you're like, this team should be better. But Giancarlo Stanton's hitting 176. Cliff Frazier's hitting 167. Aaron Hicks is hitting 160. Gleyber Torres, 196. It's just not a good team right now. I will say this. I think when it's all said and done, the Yankees are actually going to be, if not at the top of the standings in the American League East, very close to there. It's not like their 5-10 record is backed up by this miserable run differential. They've only been outscored by 9 runs. That tends not to equal 5 games under 500 after 15. So I think this is all going to even out, and I think they're going to be all right. I'm not anywhere close to panic mode with the Yankees yet.
Jeff, you brought up the starting pitching. At what point do people start to criticize Brian Cashman for not being more aggressive in the offseason? Because he took some huge swings with bringing over Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon, knowing the injury history that those guys have had the last couple of years. When do people start looking at Cashman sideways when it comes to the starting pitching not being fortified or addressed the way that a lot of fans would have liked to have seen this past offseason?
Oh, I think with fans and with people, it's happening already. I think it's premature. I'll be honest. If baseball could start on April 1st and I didn't have to say a word about the sport until May 15th, it would make my life much easier. Because I spend like the first 6 weeks of the season saying, hey, don't panic, don't panic, don't panic, don't panic. Small sample. In the middle of the season, if the Yankees lost 10 out of 15 games, it wouldn't make much of a difference because they got off to a great start. And every team has blips. Some teams just have blips at the beginning of the season. Some pitchers, particularly those coming off of injury, take a little while to get back. And it's not until we're at about the 40, or so game mark where I feel like I can look at a team or look at a player and say, okay, this may be what we've got right now. And if Kluber and Taillon continue to struggle at that point, then I think the criticism toward Brian Cashman may start to be warranted. Until then, it just feels like we're a little bit early in the process, and it's a little unfair to be casting those stones.
And, Jeff, we got to run, but real quick, instead of the passive-aggressive take, what is the passing-aggressive take for the week?
The passive-aggressive take for the week is that I come on to the show and we talk about the Dodgers and the Yankees while the first-place Kansas City Royals, best team in the American League, get nary a mention because clearly you guys hate people who live in the Midwest.
I'm going to give you one guess where Jeff currently resides. Kansas City, Missouri.
We love people in Missouri.
My passive-aggressive. Yes.
I can tell. I can tell. Good work, guys. Thanks.
You got it. One more Midwest note for Jeff. The Cubs not hitting. That would be my passive-aggressive take. He just reeled off the Yankee lineup. The Cubs lineup, not much better. Jeff, thank you very much. Appreciate you joining us this morning. Jeff Passan on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So obviously keep an eye on the Kansas City Royals. On the way, Hurts, Tua, Jones, Young? You may recognize some of those names. Maybe not that last one. You're about to. We'll explain after Key has this from Straight Talk Wireless.
It's time for some Straight Talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels even better, like a walk-off home run in a ninth inning. Good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Not on the block, in the house. Key at 18 in the house. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline. It's time to go real or not real with some of the biggest things we saw in sports over the weekend, Ev.
Yeah, and Real or Not Real is brought to you by Mortal Kombat. See it in theaters and on HBO Max April 23rd. Rated R. Zion Williamson will play for the Knicks. Real or not real?
Real.
There you go.
Real. He'll find, but put it this way. He won't finish in New Orleans. Now, whether it's the Knicks or somebody else, he won't finish in New Orleans. That's for sure. And I think his sights could potentially be set on the Knicks. He's a big personality. He continues to play at the level he's playing. I mean, small market teams with superstars, it just doesn't last.
No, and you see that the Pelicans haven't done a great job with former number one overall picks in terms of making it a place that they would want to stay. Anthony Davis ended up forcing his way out and getting to the Lakers. I think Zion eventually does that as well. He doesn't finish up his time with the Pelicans. Like, he's going to move. And the way he gushed about the Knicks and playing in Madison Square Garden in the postgame yesterday, it feels like that would be one of the places that's on his short list of destinations.
I'll say not real. I think part of his appeal, and by the way, this is 100% genuine. I think he's a great kid. I think part of his appeal is he's a people pleaser. He likes people. And I just think if a guy like that went to the Knicks, it would be seen as like a little bit of like a villainous move, like, oh, here we go again. And I just think he would realize that that's not who he is.
Well, the president of the New York Knicks came from CAA.
Leon Rose.
His representatives are where? CAA. Mm-hmm. So just start connecting the little dots.
And
that's
one of his
I'm
best
saying.
Friends is R.J. Barrett.
And R.J. Barrett is one Knicks of his best friends on the Knicks. I'm just connecting the little, you know, just putting it all together.
That makes a lot of breadcrumbs. Makes a lot of sense.
Guys, Bryce Young winning the MVP of the Alabama spring game. Is this a real story or not a real story? Zubin, start with you.
It's a real story. I don't know if you guys saw. There was almost 45,000 fans at the Alabama Spring Game on Saturday. It's, in fact, the largest crowd.
Super spreader.
Yeah, it was the largest crowd for a sporting event in the United States since the coronavirus
hit. What are they
doing? 45,000 people. I will say this is a legit big deal because a lot of people thought, believe it or not, and Key, you've mentioned this, a lot of people thought Bryce Young was going to come in as a true freshman and beat out Mac Jones. The story became Mac Jones for obvious reasons. But the fact that people thought this guy's a true freshman could start for Alabama is notable. There's not a lot of true freshmen that are starting in the SEC, period, much less Alabama. It didn't get done because he obviously had Mac in front of him, but he waited his turn, looked good in front of a huge crowd, and I think this is a big deal because this is just the confirmation of what many people already thought about the kid.
Yeah, the kid's a good kid. He better make it to the NFL and make a whole lot of money because otherwise he ain't going to be able to come back to Southern California. You know why?
He bolted?
Yes. He was supposed to be at USC. He decommitted from USC to go to Alabama. So all I'm saying is, you know, those people out west, they don't forget.
Wow. You're not going to let them forget, are you, Key? You're not even going to let them forget. You're going to keep bringing it up, aren't you?
I'm just saying, when it's all said and done, sometimes you got to come back home. And when you made the decision to go to Tuscaloosa.
Home might not feel like home when home you get might back not, there.
And he went to modern day. Matt Barkley, wow. Matt Leiner. I mean, that you don't know. No, absolutely not. And you don't leave Southern California in modern day to go to Alabama and then think you can just come back to L.A. Nah.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I'm going to say not real. This is not a real story. I mean, we come to expect this from Alabama quarterbacks in the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, the next guy in line is going to put up huge numbers. It's kind of like what we've seen at the quarterback position at Oklahoma under Lincoln Riley. Like, you're going to have these uber-productive quarterbacks. That's just what it is because that's the style of ball that they play now under Nick Saban.
It's real, and the reason it's real, though, is because he's legit. He is a legit quarterback, no question about it, man. He would have – and no matter where he would have gone to school, that's exactly what you would have seen out of him. I mean, he's legit.
Key, Dodgers-Padres is the new Red Sox-Yankees, real or not real?
No, not real. When was the last time the Padres ever even won a World Series? When? 1822 or something?
They didn't go to the World Series against the Yankees in 98.
Yeah. But no, it's not a real thing, not at all. I mean, I understand we want to manufacture it because of Yu Darvish and Machado played for the Dodgers for a short stint there. It's two hours up south, up the road. I would call it down south, 2 hours from L.A. I mean, it's not. Nah.
No, I'm with Key on this one. It's not real, although I will say this. The Padres are on their way. Like, they're on their way. This is a young
man,
team.
Man, the Colorado Rockies.
The Rockies are the worst team in baseball.
No,
don't
but
say
the Colorado
that.
Rockies, the Rockies had
the worst
a little
team in baseball.
So did the Arizona Diamondbacks. They had this coming for the Dodgers.
Key, this is different, man.
Same thing.
With Tatis Jr. and with Hosmer and with Machado, this is a little bit different when you start talking about this Padres team. Like, they're going to be a thorn in the Dodgers' side. It's not going to be the Dodgers walking away with the NL West crown. That ain't happening this year.
Okay.
I would say not real just because the Yankees-Red Sox obviously goes back to Babe Ruth, and this is just a rivalry that's budding. But I will say, to Chris's point, Dodgers-Padres is ascending. Yankees-Red Sox is descending. I don't care what anybody said. It's a rivalry, yes. It just is not even close to being the same as what it used to be. But, relatively speaking, still miles ahead of Padres-Dodgers. Yep.
Steph Curry has 10 straight games with 30 or more points. Tonight he goes to break the NBA record, which is held by Kobe Bryant, in Kobe's hometown. Steph Curry will break Kobe's record tonight.
Real. Yeah. I mean, that's easy for him. They're banged up, and he takes a lot of shots, so... I mean, the dude is a beast. There's nothing else you can say. I mean, some of the shots that he puts up is just so unreal, it makes no sense. Makes zero sense.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's real, too, just because the Golden State Warriors need Steph Curry to be otherworldly. Right now, they're clinging to one of those spots in the play-in tournament, and Steph Curry is going to continue to have to drop 30-plus in order for them to have a chance to stay in that position and have a chance to get to the postseason. So, yeah, I'm going to say this is real.
Indeed. I'll say it's real, too. 7 through 10 make the play-in tournament. The Warriors are hovering around the 10 spot, and they have been for quite some time. What happens if the Giants don't hit their over-under win total? That's next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.